Today's daf is Shabbos daf Ayin Gimel. We have 9 lines from the top of daf Ayin Gimel Amid Aleph, the 2 dots, Itnar. Today's daf is being learned as a schus refuah shalema for Shlomo ben Sara Aliza, Avram ben Gittel, Yitzchak Eliyahu ben Chaya Sara, Avram Kaddish ben Malkar Bela, Avram Yekusil ben Gittel, Rufal Chaim Shayoshev ben Baba Chaya Rivka, Yehuda Leib Chizkiyahu ben Basya, Baruch Tzvi ben Shloimes Vega, Chaim ben Yamin Mordechai ben Ida, Ya'el Bas Bela, Chizki Yoshloima Ziskin ben Nechama, and Al Yakim Getzel ben Brana Esther. Today's daf is also being learned. Le'ilui Nishmas Yichil Yosef ben Tzvi Betzalel, Elka Bas Shmuel Aliyo, Shoshana Roiza Bas Mordechai Tzvi Akoyin, Yoel Tzvi ben Yeshaya, Shloima Zev ben Avram Yitzchak, and Mordechai Ziskin ben Meir Elchanan. So we're at the tail end of what was a very intense, long sugya in the beginning of Perek Klal Gadol, which discussed the halachos of shkogos. So if someone's mechal Shabbos b'shoigig, the halach is he has to bring a carbon chatos. The reason is because if somebody was mechal Shabbos b'mezid, he'd be chayiv kares. And any time a person does an aver b'shoigig, that had he done b'mezid, he would have been chayiv kares, the halach is he had to bring a karban chatas. And the first mishnah of the perek discussed the klal gadol, a rule, an important rule, albeit a complicated rule, with regards to someone that was mechal Shabbos b'shoigig many times over many Shabbosos. How many karbonos chatos would this person be obligated to bring? And from there, the Gemara digressed and digressed from its digression, but all within the confines, all within the framework of the halachos of shkogos and chatos, specifically as it relates to someone that was mechal Shabbos b'shoigig. The last sugya was a machloikis abayvarov. It began on the top of daf ayin beis amid beis, where the amiraim discussed a very subtle distinction, and that is, when is somebody considered to have done an avera b'shoigig, and when is someone considered to have done the avera as a misasig? Meaning, if somebody is mechal Shabbos b'shoigig, or if somebody violates any one of the chayvi krisis b'shoigig, he needs kapara. He should have been more careful. He was negligent, as we've mentioned many times. As a result, he needs to bring a karban chatas. What if somebody was mechal Shabbos? He did it inadvertently. He did it, quote-unquote, b'shoigig, but it was even less than your typical shoigig. What's known as misasik. Over there, the halach is he wouldn't have to bring a karban chatas. A shoigig needs to bring a karban chatas. A shoigig needs kapara. But if somebody did chil Shabbos inadvertently, but it was even less, so to speak, than your classic shoigig, then it's very possible, and often the times the case will be, that he wouldn't even have to bring a carbon chatas. It's what the Gemara on Daf Ayin Beis Amid Beis referred to as a misasik. And there was a machlokes between Abaye and Rava in terms of understanding the scope of what exactly a misasik is. So again, a misasik is very similar to a shoigig, but it's different than a shoigig. Because if someone's mechal Shabbos b'shoigig, he has to bring a carbon chatos. If someone's mechal Shabbos as a misasik, he doesn't need kapar at all. He wouldn't have to bring a carbon chatos. The Gemara said that Abaye and Rava were both in agreement that if somebody dropped something in a vegetable patch, so you're standing outside, you drop your knife. You want to pick up your knife, and by mistake, you ripped something out of the ground. So the halach is that everybody agrees would be considered a misasik. Why is that not a shoigig? Because over there, the person didn't even have in mind to be kaitzer. He didn't even have in mind to detach something from the ground. In his mind, he was picking up a knife. By mistake, instead of picking up a knife, he picked up a vegetable that, oh, by the way, was attached to the ground. You're not allowed to detach something from the ground. It's one of the Lama Tes Malachas, as we're soon going to see. And as a result, it turns out that he was Mechal Shabbos B'shoigig. But being that he didn't even have in mind to do a Maisa Kotzer, let alone have in mind to be Mechal Shabbos, he didn't even have in mind to do the Maisa that he did. In his mind, he was picking up a knife. He wasn't going and detaching something from the ground. He's what's known as a Mesasik. It's not even shoigig. As a result, he would not need kapara. The Gemara said Abaye v'Rava, however, argued with regards to another case. And that is, what would be if somebody had in mind to cut something that was on the ground? But in his mind, he thought he was cutting something that was lying on the ground, yet detached from the ground. And then it turns out, lo and behold, he actually cut something that was attached to the ground. Rava says that too is considered misasik. He says, to me, that's no different than having in mind to pick a knife off the ground and you ended up plucking something out of the ground. even though it's a little different, because here you had in mind to cut, not lift. You had a mind to cut, but you had a mind to cut something that was detached, and you end up cutting something that was attached, so that's considered misasik. You're going to be popped. Abai said, here I disagree with you. Here I think the halacha is you're going to be chayev. Chayev chatas. Because this is considered a shoygig in my mind. This is not considered a misasik. Misasik is where I had a mind to do maisa A, and I ended up doing maisa B. I had a mind to pick up, I ended up cutting. It's not the same thing. Similar, but not the same thing. But if I had a mind to cut and I ended up cutting, even though what I had a mind to cut was detached, as a result, not Asr on Shabbos. And I ended up cutting something that was attached, something that is Asr on Shabbos. But at the end of the day, shem chaticha chadhi, at the end of the day, I did what I had in mind to do. I inadvertently was Michal Shabbos. Okay, that's why you're a shaygig. No one says you're going to be amazing. But according to Rava, that case would be considered misasik. According to Abaye, that case would not be considered misasik. So from a high level, we have a machlekes between Abaye and Rava in terms of understanding the scope of the halacha of misasik. Rava seemed to have had a broader definition. Rava's a mako. Abaye seemed to have a more narrow definition. Abaye was more machmed. The Gemara now is going to bring two other places where Abaye and Rava disagreed with regards to the exact definition of a misasik. Zok Gemara Itmar, Neschav Lizrik Shtayim. If somebody was an Rishus Rabin and he had a mind to throw something to Amos, Vizara Karba, and he ended up throwing it for Amos. He didn't have such good aim. In his mind, he was going to throw it short. It ended up going a little bit longer. Now, if somebody carries something Dalet Amos Bishus Rabin, he violates one of the Lamites Malachas, the 39th Malacha, the Malacha of Haitzah. Haitzah means either carrying Mershus Lershus or Dalet Amos Bishus Rabin. So this person had a mind to throw something in a Rishus HaRabim, but it's only going to be Haitzah if it travels Dalet Amos. In his mind, it was only going to go two Amos. Rava says you're Potter, Abaye Amachayev, Abaye says you Chayev. Now that's Pashit. When we talk about Potter and Chayev, we're discussing Achatos. This person didn't, in a malicious way, have in mind to be Michal Shabbos. The question is, are you considered a Michal Shabbos B'shoigig, or are you not considered a Michal Shabbos B'shoigig? Let's go backwards. Abaye says, yeah, of course, you're Michal Shabbos B'shoigig. Rava says, no. Over here, you're not going to be a Michal Shabbos B'shoigig. You're going to be a misasik. And the Gemara explains, Rava, I'm a potter. Rava says, you potter, like Chavim Luzrikat Arba. Because over here, you didn't do what you had in mind to do. You had in mind to throw it to Amos. It ended up going for Amos, even though you had a mind to throw, and that's what you did. But again, you had a mind to throw it to Amos. It ended up going for Amos. What's that comparable to? You had a mind to cut, but I had a mind to cut something that was talush. I ended up cutting something that was mechuber. This is Rava l'shitasai. Rava has the broad definition of misasik. According to Rava, you're not a shoygi. At the end of the day, you had a mind to throw it, and that's exactly what you did. Now, it's true. You had a mind to throw it two Amis, and it ended up going four Amis. You had a mind to cut something that was talush. You ended up cutting something that was mechuber. But as far as misasik and shoygi goes, Abaye l'shitasai holds that if I did what I had a mind to do, even though I had a mind to do it in a way of heter, and I ended up doing it in a way of iser, so true, I'm a shoygi, but at the very least, I'm not going to be a misasik. Zok Gemara, what about another case? What if somebody thought he was in a rishus hayachid, and it turns out that he was in a rishus harabim? Sometimes the difference between a rishus hayachid and a rishus harabim can be rather technical. You know, you think that it's obvious if something's a Rishus HaYachar, Rishus HaRabim, until you learn the halachas of Rishus HaYachar, Rishus HaRabim, and you realize it's very easy to get confused. There's many places where there's controversy. Is it a Rishus HaRabim? Is it not a Rishus HaRabim? So this person thought he was in a Rishus HaYachar, and it turned out that he was in a Rishus HaRabim. He threw something, Dalet Amos. He had a mind to throw with Dalet Amos. This person had better aim than the other fellow. But in his mind, he was throwing it in a Rishus Hayach. He didn't think he was throwing it in a Rishus Rab. Then he found out it was a Rishus Rab. So again, is he a Shoygi or is he a Misasik? Rav Amapata. Rav says you Pata. Abaye Amachai. Rav Amapata. Rav says you Pata. Because even though he had a mind to throw it, and he even had a mind to throw it Dalet Amos, but in his mind, he was throwing it Dalet Amos in Rishus Hayach where it was going to be Mutter. Turns out he threw it in a Rishus Rab, which was us. It's not what he had a mind to do. This is Rav Lashitase Tzendritinmul, where Rav has this very broad definition of what a misasik is. Abaye Machayev, to call Machabin, let's read about Alma. You're not a misasik. Misasik is when you have a mind to pick up and you end up cutting. But over here, where you had a mind to throw and you threw, even though in your mind you were throwing it in Rishus Hayach, you threw in Rishus Harabim, that loch is you're going to be chayev. Zok Digmar Vitzricha. In other words, what's the obvious question? Why did Abaye Varava have to argue about the same thing three times? At the end of the day, these are three manifestations of one core disagreement, and that is, how broad is the scope of the idea of Mesasek. Abaye Verava had some fundamental disagreement, and the Gemara gave three examples of it. There's probably more than three examples of it. So why did we mention these three? There must be some chiddush in each one of these cases. The Gemara says very simple, and the Gemara is going to go through it from the standpoint of Rava. Halacha is like Rava. Rava is also the Koyach Deteira. The Gemara says Koyach Deteira Adav. So the Gemara is going to go through from Rava's perspective. Gemara's not going to discuss about it. But from Rava's this perspective, why we had to mention these three things. So the Gemara says, because we only had the first machloikis, the machloikis and daf ayin beis amid beis, where a person had a mind to cut something, he thought he was cutting something that was detached from the ground, that it turns out he cut something that was attached to the ground. So I would have thought, who come at Rava? Maybe over there Rava said, because in his mind, he would never thought that he was cutting something that he's not allowed to cut. He thought he was cutting a vegetable. He thought he was making salad. It turns out he did kaitzer. Okay, so maybe there you're misasik. But if you had in mind to throw something 2 amos and then it went 4 amos, even though throwing 2 amos in and of itself is not a problem, but you can't throw something 4 amos without it traveling 2 amos. So it comes out, throwing something 2 amos is, and I'm using this term loosely, at least a chatzi shir. It's something. It's a nice essence. Now, it's true. It would have to travel another 2 amos for it to be a problem. But you can't tell me that what this person had a mind to do is mutter 100% mahadrin mina mahadrin. It's not. Because to throw something 2 amos, if it combines with another 2 amos, will turn out retroactively was a problem. So maybe over here, with the very least, the maisa that you had a mind to do can be a maisa iser if you mitzaref with another 2 amos. Maybe be moed tabai. So that's why the Gemara says Rava agreed even in that case. And we had these two cases. I would think at the end of the day, Rava holds it, even in the second case where you had a mind to throw 2 amos, it's okay, because even though 2 amos is a chatzishir, but 2 amos in and of itself, the act of throwing something 2 amos is not a maisa iser. But what if somebody was in a rishus hayachid and he thought it, or someone was in a rishus harab, he thought he was in a rishus hayachid and he had a mind to throw a dalet amos, and then he finds out, oops, I was in a rishus harab. But over there, the mechabel was rikat arba. There, he had a mind to do what the iser is. He had a mind to do the proverbial kaitzer. He had a mind to do havara dalet amos. He just thought he was doing it in a rishus hayachid, not a rishus harab. So maybe he might have abaya. I would think in that case, maybe he's bayit at abaya. So the Gemara says tricha. That's why we needed the machloikis abaya v'rava. Again, from Rava's perspective, in all three cases. One last Gemara. The Gemara is going to mention from here until the Mishnah something that it's mentioned already twice previously in our Pertanan. The Mishnah said avis melachos abram chaserach. So where's this Mishnah? It's in about 10 lines from now. There are 39 melachos. And the Gemara is going to say that why do we need the time of the Mishnah to count the lamed tes melachos? We could do the math ourselves. Why was it necessary to come? Rabbi Yochanan said, "Tindritin mo she'im asan kula behelam echad chayiv kolachas v'achas." Because the time of the Mishnah wanted to tell us the maximum amount of chatoyos that a person could be chayiv for being mechal one Shabbos. If a person knows Shabbos, he knows today Shabbos. He was a shoygig on the melachos. Each melacha is viewed as a separate iser. Koitzer is to toichen like chelav is to dam. As a result, it's as if you did many averis behelam echad. So you chayiv kolachas v'achas. But you only chayiv for each melacha in. How many malachas are there? 39. Which means the max amount of malachas you can be chayiv is 39. But the Gemara's kasha here is the same kasha that it was the previous 2 times that the Gemara mentioned this. And that is, we're dealing with someone that knows it's Shabbos, but he doesn't know the malachas. He doesn't know any of the malachas. Kasha is, if he doesn't know any of the Lamatas Malachas, so what does he think Shabbos is? So again, this was a question that the Gemara weaved into some of the challenging sugyas earlier in the parak. Here the Gemara wants to apply the machlokes Abaye v'Rava to maybe answer this question. Bishlam l'Abaye, the Gemara says, the Amar ki agav nechayiv. Bishlam according to Abaye, who holds that if a person has in mind to throw something 2 amos, for example, it ends up going 4 amos. A person has in mind to cut something that's talish, and it turns out that he cut something that's mechuber. The halach is he's considered a mechal Shabbos b'shoygig. He's chayiv chatas. So if that's the case, says the Gemara, this whole kasha that we've mentioned a few times in this parak isn't really a question, because mishma tachas lo the other the yisur Shabbos the other lo isa melachas the katab bishur b'shiurim. This person can know gansel chashabbos. Maybe he knows Shabbos. He knows all the melachas. So well. Was the shaykh. Not he didn't know at all that this is asr, but in his mind he was what Robert deems a misasik. He didn't think that he was doing the Aveira, and it turned out that he did the Aveira, and he did that with all Lamites Malachas. So he knew exactly what he was doing. And let's say he was off with the shear. We'll see, shear shiurim play a very prominent role in Hilchos Shabbos. So maybe he made a mistake with the shiurim. According to Abaya, that's a shoygig. And as a result, maybe that's what the mistake was. So what's the problem? 39 melachis, how's it possible? What then? He knows everything. This yid could be a baki in chela gimel of Mishnah Brura. And 39 times, however, coincidentally with all lametes melachis, he was doing something, he was off by a little bit, then it turns out that he did every single lister by b'shoigig. Okay, how it happened is a kasha from Naisa. But this, he should probably check his mezuzahs. But the bottom line is it could happen. So the Gemara says it makes sense according to Abaye, Elalu Rava. But according to Rava, all these cases, he would be a mesasik. Meaning if you thought you were doing a chil Shabbos pachas mikashir, then we find out you did the shir, you're not a shoigig, you're not even chayv achatos, you're a mesasik. So where's the negeya? So the Gemara says, "Bezadin Shabbos v'shigas malachis." No, it's talking about where it was a regular case where he knew it was Shabbos, he just didn't know the malachis. The Gemara says, "Honey, chisav like Rabbi Yoichan. This is all good if he holds like Rabbi Yoichan. Don't make him shogeg b'karas afa b'sheis b'lav. Mishkachas liyadol al Shabbos b'lav. Bishul according to Rabbi Yoichanon, it's possible because Rabbi Yoichanon holds that if a person knows something is also, he just doesn't know the extent of it. He's still considered a shogeg. We saw that the Rambam paskins that way in Hilchos Shogeg Perek Beis Halacha Beis. Game changer as far as understanding shoygig for sugis ashas. Very, very important Rambam. Based on machleks Rabbi Yechon Mishlakish, we always pass on like Rabbi Yechonon, and Nalach over there is like Rabbi Yechonon. So according to Rabbi Yechonon, it's possible. The case is where the person again knew Hilchah Shabbos, he knew it's Shabbos, he knew Shabbos is alive, he didn't know Shabbos is Karis, and he did all 39 malachas. So that's where it's possible. That's how you can do this. At least some like Rabbi Shimon, but he holds like Rish Lakish, as Shiyishka Gulav Karis, the other Leila Shabbos ben Mai. But if you hold like Rish Lakish, and now with the new wrinkle that we're adding to this Cheshman, and you hold like Rava, so the question is, how is it possible for a person to know Shabbos and not know any of the Lamatas Malachas? So the Gemara says what it said previously, the other of Tchumim, Alibi Rabbi Akiva. He knew Tchumim, according to Rabbi Akiva, that holds Tchumim's day Raisa. We'll see more about that. But according to Rabbi Akiva, that holds Tchumim is day Raisa. Could be that's what he knows, XL. Either way, we're now going to turn our attention to a completely different sugya, a sugya that's going to take us pretty much till the end of the Masechta. In many ways, this is when the real Shabbos sugyas begins, and that's the Mishnah that discusses the Lamites Malachas. So Periklau Gadol is very much a tale of two sugyas. The first half of Periklau Gadol deals with the Chatois and the Shkogois. The second half of Periklau Gadol introduces the Lamites Malachas. The term Klau Gadol is a very befitting name for this perek, because it's a very, very intense perek with a lot of yesoides. We just concluded the more challenging part, the less halacha l'maisa part. We're going to get into now really geshmaka sugyas, again, sugyas that are going to take us pretty much till the end of the Masech. Zog de Mishnah. Avos melachos arba'im chaser achas. There are 39, not melachos, there are 39 avos melachos. We'll see what that means. Hazireya, the first one of the melachos is Zireya. You're not allowed to plant on Shabbos. The hachoyresh, you're not allowed to plow on Shabbos. The hakoitzer, you're not allowed to detach tfuah on Shabbos. The hamaamer, farmers, after they would detach the crops, so what they do is they would bundle it together. That was another thing that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. The hadash, you're not allowed to remove the grains from its husk. So think of the very leafy covering that you have around your ears of horn of corn. So that's an example of something. You wouldn't be able to detach the corn from what's around it. V'hazori, you're not allowed to winnow on Shabbos. Habori, can't do boir on Shabbos. Hatoichi, you're not allowed to grind on Shabbos. V'hamirakit, you're not allowed to sift on Shabbos. V'halosh, you're not allowed to knead on Shabbos. V'ha'ofer, you're not allowed to bake on Shabbos. Mishnah continues, ha'goizis is atzemer. If somebody shears wool off a sheep on Shabbos, that's a problem. V'hamilabne, if you whiten the wool after you shear it. V'hamenapza, if you disentangle it. So the wool was often tangled together, so they would disentangle it. Can't do that on Shabbos. Vatsoiva, you can't dye wool on Shabbos. Vatova, you're not allowed to spin the different threads of wool to make one nice, long, strong thread. That's something you're not allowed to do on Shabbos either. Vahamesach, you're not allowed to take the threads and set it up for weaving. Va'isah shtebati nirin, if somebody, that's again another important part of the weaving process that we'll see. Va'irik shnei chutin, if somebody actually weaves on Shabbos, tu chutin. Va'apitzeya, if somebody removes some of the threads
in the weaving process that are not necessary. So sometimes there was too much thread when a person weaved, so you're not letting him remove that on Shabbos either. Kosher, if somebody makes a knot, hamater, unties a knot. Or if somebody sews two stitches on Shabbos. If somebody tears something, but only with the intention to sew it back together. If somebody catches an animal, deer, lavdafka deer. If somebody shechts it. If somebody skins it. If somebody salts the hides. He processes the hides. If somebody smooths the hides. These are all things that were done in the process of making parchment, of making hides and processing them. If somebody cuts them, somebody writes two letters. If somebody erases, Amenas to write to Oisius. Habayna, if somebody builds. Vasoiser, if someone demolishes. Hamechab, if someone extinguishes. Vamaber, if somebody lights a candle. Hamakab Patish, of Makab Patish fame. Hamaitim Rishus, Lashus, if somebody carries from one Rishus to another Rishus, which in Hilchit Shabbos, Midda Iraisa, Rishus Lashus means either from Rishus Ayachid to Rishus Arabim, or from Rishus Arabim to Rishus Ayachid. Harei Elu Ovis Melaches Abon Chaser Achas. These are the 39 Melaches. Either way, each one of these 39 Melaches are going to be discussed in the Gemara. There's so much to talk about. We'll start the Gemara, and then after we finish the Daf, we'll do an introduction to this Mishnah. Zok the Gemara, Minyana Lamali. Why did the Tana of the Mishnah have to mention 39 Melaches? I think we know the answer at this point. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. It's Rabbi Yochanan. Said, this goes back to the third category of the Klal Gadol that was mentioned in the beginning of the parak, and that is if someone knows it's Shabbos but he's not familiar with the Malachos and he does Malachos B'Shoigi B'Chayiv HaKom Malacho Malacho, what's the maximum amount of Chatois HaKi B'Chayiv? 39. Why? Because there's 39 of his Malachos. For each of Malacho you would be Chayiv on Hazoira. Says the Gemara, Mikrof Karbi Bereisha. A person first plows, and then afterwards you plant. Right? If you want to plant in a field, not that I've ever done that, but first you would plow, and then afterwards you drop the seeds and you sow the ground. So the Gemara's kasha is, shouldn't it have mentioned first Chayresh and then Zayreya? Why does it mention Zayreya and then Chayresh? Listening Chayresh, while listening Zayreya. So the Gemara says, Tana Beretz Yisrael Kai, the Tana of the Mishnah lived in Eretz Yisrael. The Zari Beresha, the Hadar Karvi. In Eretz Yisrael, they used to plow the ground twice. The ground was very hard. So what they would do is they would plow the ground to soften it up a little bit. They would drop the seeds in. And then Rashi says that they would have to plow it a second time in order to be able to take the dirt and cover the seeds that they just dropped into the ground. So being that there were two chayreshes that needed to be done in Eretz Yisrael, and this Tana lived in Eretz Yisrael, so he didn't mention the first chayresh, he mentioned the second chayresh. And the reason he mentioned the second chayresh was because he wanted to say a chiddush la'alacha. He wanted to say, don't think that only the first chayresh is the malacha. No, it's important to know that the second chayresh is also considered the malacha. Zok de gemara. Tana has a, we learned in a braisa, has a reya, if somebody plants. Zereya, as we're going to see, means when somebody drops seeds into the ground. Miloshen zera. So you take seeds, you drop it into the ground, and you plant old-fashioned. Hazoimer, if somebody prunes a branch, so farmers will sometimes prune their branches, they'll cut it, because it promotes growth. So if someone is zoimer, v'hanoiteya, what does noiteya mean? This is important. Somebody takes a sapling, or he takes a tree, and he puts it into the ground, and eventually it's going to start growing. So Neiteya is very similar to Zereya, but the way it's done is different. Zereya is when you put seeds in the ground, and that eventually matures, and something grows from the seeds. A Neiteya is when you want a tree to grow, so you stick a little baby tree into the ground, and then the tree ends up growing. V'hamavrich, if somebody takes a vine, Rashi says, and you take the other end of it, and you stick it into the ground. And the point is that you're going to have another vine is going to start growing from there. The hamarkiv, or if somebody grafts two different trees, taloch is kula melacha achasein, all these things are considered melacha achas. Says the Gemara, Maika Mashmalon, what's the significance of this? Haka Mashmalon, the significance is that ha'oisa melacha is harbe, me'ein melacha achas, ein echayev ela achas. It's important to know that they're one melacha, because what if somebody would do all these things? He would be zoireya, and zoimer, and noiteya, and mavrich, and marik, Arkiv, he would do them all behelam echad. So the halach is they're all part of the same halach. If they're all part of the same halach, if you do it b'shoyging on Shabbos, you're only going to be chayv one chatas. We said the maximum amount of chatos a person can be chayv is 39. Why? Because there's 39 avos malachas, and for each av malacha you're chayv one. The significance of saying that these are kula malacha achas saying is they all fall into the same category of malacha, and if they're all part of the same malacha, so as a result you're only going to be chayv one. Now this price that the Gemara just mentioned is our first introduction, right at the beginning of the sugya, is our first introduction to the concept of a toilda. Meaning, even though there's 39 malachos, but the Mishnah said there are 39 avos malachos. And like the Gemara says in Bava Kama Daf Beis, avos michlal de ikka toldos. Clearly, it's not just 39 malachos, because then the Mishnah would say 39 malachos. No, avos is a lashon of literally father, but figuratively speaking, it's categories of malachas. So there are 39 categories of malachas. So if you have a malacha that's technically not one of the Lamentas malachas, but on some level it's similar to that malacha, that would be enough for it to be a toild of the malacha, and you would be chayiv for that as well. So again, your classic zoireya would be taking seeds and dropping it into the ground. But the Braisa says, ha-zoireya, v'ha-zoimer, v'ha-niteya, v'ha-mavir, v'ha-markiv. All these things are acts that are very similar to planting. They're very similar to sowing, because essentially what you're doing is you're doing a maisa in your field, on your farm, to stimulate growth, to cause something to grow. So if that's what you're doing, it all falls under the purview of Zeireya, and as a result, you can be chai for each one individually. But not only can be chai for each one individually, if you do them all behelam echad, the halacha is you're only going to be chai of one. Now, if you look in Rashi and the Rambam and the Rishonim, there's a big discussion whether these are in fact all toldos or maybe some of them are avos. Rashi says in the Gemara that noiteya is really an av malacha, just like zoireya is. Zoireya is when you plant seeds. Noiteya is when you plant a tree. Essentially, they're the same thing. So Rashi says, I have a problem thinking that noiteya is a tolda of zireya. Why is it a tolda? I think it's the same thing. It's too similar. I think it's actually the same thing. Zireya is when it's a seed, noiteya is when it's a tree. So again, there's a lot of raid over here. We're going to do what we do, which is go weiter. But if you take a look at Rashi and in the Rishonim, so to know exactly what's a tolda and what's an av, and what do you mean if noiteya is an av and zireya is an av, so why is zireya one? Do we only have 39? That should then be a 40th. If you go through just Pashi, Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, there are many new avos malachos that are going to emerge. So we'll see. Maybe we'll get to that at some point. But for now, Pashi, Pshat, and the Gemara, these are all part of the general category of Zeireya. For each one individually, you'd be chayiv, like any person that's Mechal Shabbos. But if you do them all behelam echad, they're all part of Zeireya. As a result, you're only going to be chayiv one. More on this note. Amar Reb Acha, Amar Reb Chiya Barashi, Amar Reb Ami. Zoymer chayiv mishum noiteya. If someone zoymer, somebody prunes a tree, he's chayiv for noiteya. So again, why noiteya, not zoireya? Why did he use that word? Because we said earlier, zoireya is when you're dealing with the seed. Noiteya is with the tree. You're zoymer, not a seed. You're zoymer, a tree. So you're causing the tree to grow, so it's more noiteya than it is zoireya. But then Reb Acha continued and confusingly said, v'ha noiteya itself. The hamavrich, the hamarkiv, chayiv mishum zoireya. So zoymer is noiteya. Oh, but by the way, noiteya is zoireya. Says the Gemara, mishum zoireya, mishum noiteya loy, ema af mishum zoireya. Now, point is, it's all one and the same. For our purposes, there's one general category called zoireya. Within zoireya, anything that you do in the field that mirrors a zriya would be included in that malach. Amar Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana says, zoymer v'tzarech le'etzim. If somebody prunes a tree and he needed the branches, so someone has a branch that needs to be weeded out, so he goes to his tree, he cuts off a branch. But in his mind, he didn't just want to cause the tree to grow better. He actually needed the wood. So the halach is chayiv shtayim. He's going to be chayiv not for one chil Shabbos, but for two. Meaning, if he did it behelam echad, he would have to bring two chatois. Achas mishum koitzer, the achas mishum noiteya. He's a noiteya. Let's go backwards. We just said, zoymer is a toilda, or maybe an av, but it's included in this world of zoireya. So as a result, he's chayiv mishum zoireya, or noiteya. If he needed the eitzim, then he's going to be chayiv for koitzer as well, because he just detached something that he needs. And being that he detached something that he needs, so it's for that reason he's going to be chayiv. So before we go weiter, Tosfos says that when a person prunes a tree, he's koitzer, then why does he have to be tzarech le'etzin in order for him to be kaitzer? Even if he's not tzarech le'etzin, he should be kaitzer. It's a very obvious question. So Tosfos says, at first glance, you can say that maybe this Gemara is going according to Reb Shimon, who holds that a melacha she'ena tzricha legufa is potter. But enochinami, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that holds that a malacha she'en etzricha leguf is chayiv, you would be chayiv even if you didn't need the etzim. So again, just to review, what's the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon with regards to malacha she'en etzricha leguf? It's the machlokes Rashi tells us what the machlokes is. But the pashut pshat is Rashi's pshat. Rashi holds that according to Rabbi Shimon, malacha she'en etzricha leguf lepater means that the only time you're chayiv for doing a malacha on Shabbos is if your intention when you did the malacha was the positive outcome that comes as a result of what it is you did. So the classic example is if somebody carries a mace from one rishus to another rishus on Shabbos. So according to Reb Shimon, that melacha shein etzricha leguf is potter, you're not going to be chayiv. Because presumably, the reason you removed the mace out of your rishus was not because you wanted the mace in the other rishus. You just want to take the mace out of the house. So being that you did it more defensively, as opposed to actually waking up in the morning and wanting the positive outcome that comes from the malacha that you did, so that would be considered malacha shein etzricha leguf. A malacha shein etzricha leguf is going to be potter. So if someone is zoymer and he's ain't tzarech le'etzim, at first glance, it sounds like a classic malacha shein etzricha leguf. I did the malacha, I was kaitzer. You can't tell me I wasn't kaitzer, I cut off a branch. But if I don't want the woods, I didn't necessarily want the positive outcome that came about from the malacha that I did. So Tosfos says, I'm a little tempted to say that maybe Rav Kahana, who said zoymer v'tzarech le'etzim, chayiv shtayim, achas mishum koitze, v'achas mishum neiteya, said you have to be tzarech le'etzim because he holds like Rav Shimon that malacha shein etzricha leguf is potter. But enochinami, if he held like Rabbi Yehuda, that a malacha shein etzricha legufa is chayiv, then you'd be chayiv even if you weren't tzarech le'etzim. But Tosfos says, I don't think that's the pshat. Nira says, Tosfos dibra maskel v'tzarech le'etzim, da'afilu l'Rabbi Yehuda, the mechayiv malacha shein etzricha legufa be'inin tzarech le'etzim. You need tzarech le'etzim. D'lo mikri be'etzim koitzer elu be'inin zeh. The only time by etzim, emphasis on etzim, as we'll see in a second, the only time you consider a koitzer when you cut wood is if you're tzarech le'etzim. But if you're not tzarech le'etzim, you're not going to be chayiv. And the reason is because kneading the wood is part and parcel of the malacha, like cutting the wood is part and parcel of the malacha. You can't be koitzer if you don't cut. By definition, koitzer means to cut. You can't be koitzer if you don't knead the wood. It's part of the cheftz of the malacha. It's not a t'nai. It's part of the cheftz of the malacha. It says, no, you do it, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. The only time you consider a koitzer by wood, emphasis on wood, is if you're tzarech le'etzim. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef continues, and hey man, the katal aspasto. If somebody cuts aspasto, so aspasto was some plant that was Michael Behema, animals used to eat. Chayiv shtayim, you're going to be chayiv twice. Achas mishum koitzer, one for koitzer, v'achas mishum neiteya, and you're going to be chayiv mishum neiteya as well. By cutting aspasto, so you're stimulating growth, you're a neiteya, but at the same time, you're also going to be a koitzer. Now notice, over here it doesn't say, hey man, the katal aspasto, v'tzarech le'aspasto. Because over here we're not dealing wood. Over here we're not dealing with wood. So over here you would be chayiv at the very least, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that holds a malacha shein tzricha leguf is chayiv even if you don't need the wood. That's why Tosfos emphasized the loy mikri be'etzim koitzer ela binyan zeh. Because it's very clear from the Gemara that by zoyme v'tzarech le'etzim, there you have the tenai of tzarech le'etzim. But as relates to aspasta, that's not the case. Amar Abaye, same halach, I'm on the con of silka. Somebody cuts silka, beats, chayiv mishum shtayim. Again, it was on, attached to the ground, you went ahead and cut it. See, chayiv mishum koitzer, achas mishum zayrei. Again, by silka, you don't need that, you're tzarech le'silka. But the point is, you can do one act and you can be chayiv for two different malachas. If the one act involves two of the lamatas malachas, just because it's one maisa, it doesn't mean that you can't be chayiv for more than one chil Shabbos. The Mishnah continued and said, v'hachayrus. Incidentally, these Gemaras are going to move very, very quickly. So it really, the Gemara plows through, pun intended, the lamatas malachas, and we're going to have to find time in the raid bites to get into them, because the Gemara is not going to give us that as much opportunity as we really need. So again, the Mishnah began, it said, azayreya, and we're ready up to v'hachayrish. Tana, hachayrish, v'hachayfer, if somebody plows, old school. V'hachayfer, if somebody digs a hole. V'hachayrit, somebody makes a furrow. Kulon malach achas, it's all part of chayrish. Again, meaning if you did it all, behelam echad, you're going to be chayv only one. I'm Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes, like Rav Shushes. If somebody had a big pile of dirt inside, or Rashi actually says a tail katan, a small pile of dirt inside his house. V'natla, and he removed it. B'bayis, if he did it in his house, chay mishon boina, is going to be chayev mishon boina. The reason is because by smoothing out the ground in your house, removing all this dirt, it's like you built something. It's considered boina. Besides, if he does it in the field, chayev mishum chayrish. He's mechayev mishum chayrish because removing this mound of dirt is preparing the field. It's making it a little bit better to be able to plow, so it's considered part of chayrish. Chayiv sounds like you're over the isadai raisa. So merely removing a mound of dirt, that in and of itself could constitute a malacha dai raisa. If you do it in your house, it's baina. If you do it in a field, it's chayrish. You don't plow your house and you don't build on your field. So therefore, we delineate. House, it's going to fall under the category of baina. Field, it's going to fall under the category of chayrish. Oh my, rabba. What if in the reverse? What if somebody had a ditch and he went and he filled up the ditch with dirt? Again, bebai is chay mishum baina. It's the same thing. You fill up a ditch, that's baina. V'sadeh mishum chayrish. Because you can't plow a ditch. So you would have to fill it up first. And then afterwards, you can plow it. Oh my, rabba said, achayfer gumen b'shabbos. If someone's chayfer gumen b'shabbos, ain't it tzarech el alafer? What if somebody digs a hole on Shabbos, but what he needs is the offer? All he needs is the offer. So that he doesn't need the actual ditch. He needs the offer. So we just said, if someone's chayfer guma b'shabbos, so it could, for sure, can be an issue. Well, we were talking about filling up a ditch. We talked about removing a mound. But it would seem obvious that if you're chayfer guma, it's also going to be a problem. In fact, the braisa that the Gemara brought, right, when it started discussing chayrish was, ha-chayrish va-chayfer va-chayritz, kulam loch achasen. But what Rabbi Abba said was that the only time a chayfer is considered a chayrish is only if he needs the offer. But if he doesn't need the offer, he's going to be potter. And again, the Gemara gets involved with the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Afilu Rabbi Yehuda da malacha shein zrich leguf v'chayiv. And this is true, even according to Rabbi Yehuda that holds, the malacha shein zrich leguf is chayiv, meaning, according to Rabbi Yehuda, why do you have to need the ditch? What's the malacha when you dig a ditch? The malacha we just said is chayrish. If you do it in your house, it would be baina. So it's either going to be chayrish or it's going to be baina. So why do you have to need the offer? So okay, according to Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon that holds malacha sheitzirich leguf as potters, I understand why you need the ditch. Because if you do a malacha, but it's not for the positive outcome of that malacha, then you're never chayiv. So if you don't need the guma, then it makes sense that you shouldn't be chayiv. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, that holds malacha chayin tzrich leguf as chayiv, shouldn't he be chayiv? But here the Gemara throws in another wrinkle. Hani mili mesakein hay mekalkelhu. The only time Rabbi Yehuda holds of his halach is if at the very least you're mesakein. But over here, if you do a maisa kilkel, that's not the case. If you dig a ditch and you want the ditch, so then the digging of the ditch is a maisa tikkun. But if you dig a ditch and you don't want the ditch, you just want the offer, the ditch that you created is actually a bad thing. You would have preferred having the offer without having to dig the ditch. It's obvious. Because the ditch is not a good thing unless you really want it. But if you don't want it, it's considered inherently a maisa kilkel. And mekalkel b'shabbos is potter. Again, a whole other sugya that we'll have to get to at some point. But says the Gemara that if someone digs a ditch, he's chayiv mishum chayfer. If you do it in your house, chayrish. If you do it in your house, you'd be chayiv mishum boina. What if you dug the ditch and you didn't want the ditch, all you wanted was the offer? So first class you'll tell me, oh, this sounds like another example where it's totally in the machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Is malacha shein tzricha leguf a chayev or is malacha shein tzricha leguf a pater? But the Gemara says that really has nothing to do with that. Because if you dig a ditch and you don't want the ditch, that comes out the ditch is a maisa kilkel. The ditch is a maisa kilkel. Even Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree that mekalkel on Shabbos is pater, and it's for that reason you're not going to be chayev exhale. So that concludes the daf, and now really the introduction to the daf, or better, an introduction to the Mishnah that mentions the Lamed Tes Melachas. So we are familiar at this point with the idea that Chilul Shabbos is very chomer. It says in the Aseres Hadibur, Shomer Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshoy, Zocher Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshoy. A Yid has to observe Shabbos. What does it mean to observe Shabbos? On Shabbos you have to rest. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to do malacha. If somebody does malacha on Shabbos, the Rambam says, if he does it before Hesia, he has a din of a goy. Being mechal Shabbos is very, very chomer. That's very clear. What's incredible is that the Torah Shebiksav never mentioned anywhere what it means to be mechal Shabbos. It says in the Torah on Shabbos, lo yisasekol malacha. It says, shomer es yom haShabbos l'kadshoy, zocher es yom haShabbos l'kadshoy. But what does it mean to rest on Shabbos? It means you stay in bed the whole day. What does it mean? The Torah never mentioned mefurish anywhere what the definition of resting on Shabbos is, what it means that you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos. Stating that, Chazal were megalotos in the Torah Shebalpeh, that when we say that you're not allowed to do malach on Shabbos, when we say that you have to rest on Shabbos, the definition of a malach is lamid tes malachos. It's the obvious malachos that the Mishnah mentions here in Periklal Gadol in Maseches Shabbos, daf ayin gimel amid alf. Chazal continued, and Chazal said that even though the Torah never mentioned the lamed tes malachos mefurish, however, there are remazim, there are hints to it in the Torah. And if you just go back down memory lane, some of the Gemaras that we learned together over the last few weeks, so what we've seen already is three remazim in the Gemara to the concept of the lamed tes malachos. Again, the lamed tes malachos are not mentioned anywhere. Leisasa kol malach. What does a malach mean? I have no idea what it means. But we know, Torah Shabbat Peh, there's something called Lamed Tes Melachos. Not Mefurish anywhere in the Torah. It's Torah Shabbat Peh. Most of what we know is based on Torah Shabbat Peh. But there are remazim to the Lamed Tes Melachos in the Torah Shabbat Ksav. The Gemara on Daf Mem Tes Amid Beis said, Hadar Yasvi Vekami Bayelohu. Rabbi Yonasan ben Achnoi, Rabbi Yonasan ben Elazar, and Rabbi Chanina bar Chama, they were sitting together. And they got into the following discussion. Hadar Tanah, the Mishnah says, Ovis Melachos Abram Chazar Achas, the Mishnah we just learned, Kenegan me, what's the Makar? What's the source of Lamed Tes Melachos? Amu Rabbi Chanina bar Chama. So Rabbi Chanina bar Chama said, Kenegan Avoidus HaMishkan. Responds to the 39 melachos that the Yidden did in the Midbar when they were preparing for the Mishkan. There were 39 melachos in the Mishkan, and connected the 39 melachos in the Mishkan, we have lamed tes melachos. We don't do these 39 melachos on Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Yonasan ben Rabbi Elazar, kach Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Yosi ben Lekunyan. I heard a different shot. It's connected melacha melachtoi umelacha shebetoira abam chaser achas. He said, if you go ahead and count the amount of times that it says the word melach in the Torah, it's 39 times. And connected the 39 times that it says the word melach in the Torah, that's why we have lamed tes melachos. That was a Gemara in Shabbos. Daf Mem Tes Amid Beis. It was another Gemara that we had more recently. Shabbos Daf Ayin Amid Aleph. The Gemara was darshaning the pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Vayakel. The pasuk says Vayakel Moshe es kol adas bnei Yisrael vayomer aleihem eila advarim ashtiva Hashem lasei soisam. So Moshe gets the Yidden together and he says eila advarim. What's the dvarim? Sheishes yomim tiyasim alach v'yemesh v'yilochem Shabbos. So Moshe gathers all the Yidden, they have to get together, and he tells them about Shabbos. And he prefaces the halacha of Shabbos with Eila Hadvar. Said the Gemara again, this is a Gemara, it was Rav Nosson talking. Shabbos, Daf Ayin Amid Aleph. Eila, the word Eila, Aleph Lamid Hey, is Begematria 36. Hadvarim, Dvarim is a Lashon Rabim, Miut Rabim is always Shnayim. Ha Dvarim, the Hey is Marba, one more. So Eila is 36, Ha Dvarim, Dvarim is 2, Hey is 1, 36 plus 2 plus 1 is 39. It's a remez to the Lamed Tes Melachos, meaning, Sheishes Yomim Teyasa Melacho, Ubayayim Hashvi, Yielochem Kodesh, Shabbos Shabbosim Lashem Koloisa B'Melacha Maisumas. What's a Melacha? So it's not Mefurish, it's all Teirish about Peh. But Eila HaDvarim is a remez, because Eila's Gematria 36, one of the Gemaras that talk about Gematrias, HaDvarim is another 3, because Dvarim is 2 plus the Hey is 1, and that's you have 39. Bottom line is, you have a Gemara in Shabbos Mem Tes Amid Beis, where the Gemara brought 2 Mekiris, or at least too remazim to the concept of the Lamed Tes Melachos. And here we have a Gemara in Shabbos Tafayin Amad Aleph that learns it from Eilat Varm. So either it's Keneged, the 39 Melachos of the Mishkan, the 39 times that it says the word Melacha, or Eilat Hadvarim, these are all remazim to this concept of 39. Stating that, at the end of the day, even though there's different Gemaras that mention different Pshatim, the one that survived, that lived to tell the story, the one Makar that's quoted by Gemaras in different places and by the Rishonim, the one that permeates Hilchas Shabbos, is the first one mentioned in Shabbos Mem Tes Amid Beis, and that is the Lamed Tes Melachos are somehow related to the 39 Melachos HaMishkan. There were 39 Melachos that the Yidden did when they were preparing for the Mishkan, and connected that, the Yidden were told that on Shabbos you're going to have to rest, you're going to have to rest from the Lamed Tes Melachos. So just two things that we need to go through as far as understanding the Lamed Tes Melachos a little bit better. First of all, so when we talk about this connection as it relates to the Mishkan and Shabbos, so what's the source of this? I mean, there has to be a source to this connection. The truth is that it's based on two parashiyos in the Torah. The Torah in Parashas Kisisa mentions the mitzvah of Shabbos. It says, "Vayoyimra Hashem al Moshe leimar, va'ate dabra b'nei Yisrael leimar, achas shabsoisai tishmoiru, ki oisi benu v'neichem, l'dereiseichem, l'daske anei Hashem mikadishchem, uchmartem es ha-Shabbos, ki goydashi lochem, mechalem oisiumas, ki cholo oisi v'malach, v'nichus ha-nefeshim mekerevamo." Another pasuk, and then finally, "v'shomru b'nei Yisrael es ha-Shabbos, lasis es ha-Shabbos, deroisim b'soilam, benu v'nei Yisrael, v'yoyim ha-shvi, Shabbos v'yinafsh." You know what those pasukim are? They're in Parshas Kisisa, right? You would think they should be in the Aseres Hadibros, Parshas Yisroi, Parshas Veschan. No, they're tucked away, if there's ever been anything tucked away. It's in Parshas Kisisa, and location, location, location. What's Parshas Kisisa? Truma, Mishkan. Tetzave, Mishkan. Kisisa, Mishkan. They have a little chataego. And then you have Vayakob Pekudeu. Again, it's Mishkan, Mishkan. So literally smack in middle of the parashas that talk about the Mishkan, the Torah decided to throw in Vashom Ruvenei Yisrael as HaShabbos, Vayinofesh, Vashom Yisrael. There's so many things that we learn out of those psukim. Why did the Torah throw the mitzvah of Shabbos smack in the middle of the parashas that they were the Mishkan? And the Torah didn't just do this once. The Torah did it a second time. Parashas Vayakob. What's Vayakob Pekudei? So, Truma Tetzave Kisisa is all the Tzivuyim. Hashem is talking to Moshe, told the Yidin, the Yikli, make a campaign, and you need this, and you need that. This is the Amasayim V'chetzi Yarkov, the Amasayim V'chetzi the Amasayim V'chetzi. You have all the halachas of how everything's supposed to be done, and then Vayakob Pekudei is execution phase. That's when Bezalel comes, and they go ahead, and they actually do what they were told to do in the first three parashas. So again, Parashas Vayakob, which is going to be all about the Mishkan, and it's usually Vayakob Pekudei together, and Pekudei is also going to be all about the Mishkan. How does the pasuk begin? Vayakom Moshe kol adas bnei Yisrael. Vayoyimer aleim eila hadvarim asher tziva Hashem lasis oisam. Sheishes yomim tiyasam alachol. And again, you have the mitzvah of Shabbos. So twice the Torah threw in the mitzvah of Shabbos. Important, important psukim smack in the middle of parashiyas that deal with the Malachas HaMishkan. And it's Einoy Oimer Ela Dershuni. Pash Psha, you have to understand what's the smichas, why did the Torah do it, and the Torah even did it twice. So if you take a look at Rashi and Chumash, so Rashi says in both places that the Pash Psha is that the Torah was coming to teach the Yidden a very important lesson. The Yidden were told, V'asuli Mikdash, go ahead and build a Beis HaMikdash. They would have thought that building the Beis HaMikdash is so important that they should even do it on Shabbos. So the Torah had to say once and again, that no, that as important as Mishkan is something called Shabbos. And Shabbos is more important even than the Mishkan, and it's for that reason Meleches HaMishkan is not Doiche Shabbos. And that's the Pashup Shad, Joshua's Chazal, that Rashi brings. However, Chazal took out from this something a little bit deeper, and they saw from there that it sounds like Chil Shabbos is somehow intrinsically related. On some level, Chil Shabbos is very, very much connected. It's somehow very, very much connected to the concept of Mishkan. And it's based on that, Chazal went ahead and they said that there must be a deeper connection. And what's the deeper connection? The deeper connection is that when the Yidden prepared for the Mishkan, they did 39 melachos, and if they did 39 melachos in preparing for the Mishkan, Shabbos is probably related to those same 39 melachos, and that's what the Torah was saying. The 39 melachos that you're doing now in preparing for the Mishkan, the quote-unquote melachos on Mishkan, that's what the Shon Rebnei Yisrael Shabbos is. Those 39 melachos you don't do on Shabbos. That's the connection. It's not punctir, and it's not just to tell us one halacha, that also, but it's deeper than that. There's some deep bond, there's a kesher between Meleches HaMishkan and Meleches Shabbos, and the 39 Meleches HaMishkan are precisely the 39 Meleches that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, and that's what the Torah meant when the Torah went and the Torah said that the twice, not once, but twice in Parshas Kisisa, V'shomru Bnei Yisrael Es HaShabbos, then the beginning of Parshas Vayakil, the Torah threw in the mitzvah of Shabbos, into the Meleches HaMishkan. But I think that really, in order to appreciate this a little bit more, so we can go the more Lamdisha route, we can go the more Drush route. We'll do the Drush route today, and maybe the next stop we'll do the more Lamdisha route. But I think to understand this idea a little bit better, if you take a look in the Aseres Hadibros, so the Aseres Hadibros are mentioned in the Torah twice. It's in Parshas Yisroi, real time, and then in Parshas Veschan, in Mishnah Torah, in Arvei Smoya, Moshe Rabbeinu recounts everything that happened when the Yidden were in the Midbar. One of the things that happened in the Midbar was the Yidden were Mekabel Torah. And therefore, in Parshas Veschanon, you have again the mitzvah of Aseres Hadibros. There are some nuances, there are some differences in the language between the Dibros Rishonos, the first time the Torah mentions Aseres Hadibros, Parshas Yisroi, and the Dibros Shniyos, the second time the Torah mentions in Parshas Veschanon. One of them is as it relates to the mitzvah of Shabbos. So let's go through this psukim again. Parshas Yisroi, Zochre Tzvei Meshabbos Lekachre, Sheishas Yomim Tavoid, V'osisa Komalach Techa, V'yoyim HaShvi, Shabbos LaShem Alikecha, L'Sasa Komalach, Atu Vinchu V'Techa, Avdech V'Maschu, V'Emchim, V'Gerach HaShem V'Sharecha. Why? Says there, why is this so? Why is this such a big deal? Why is this one of the Ten Commandments? Why is it compared to all the mitzvahs? Why is it if someone's mechal Shabbos before Hesya, he relinquishes his license literally to be a yid? It's kisheshes yomim asa Hashem es hashemayim vesaretz, because Hashem created the world in 6 days. Es hayom es kol shabbat, and then vayonach bayoyim hashvi, and it's because of that al kein berach Hashem es yom Shabbos vayikachenu. That's the mitzvah of Shabbos, as it's mentioned in Parshas Yisrael. Parshas Vaschanan. Not Zohar is Yom HaShabbos L'Kachoy, but Shomer is Yom HaShabbos L'Kachoy. Kashet Tzivcha Hashem Alikecha, Sheish is Yomim Tavoid, Vosis Akom Alachtecha. V'yoy Mashvi Shabbos Hashem Alikecha. Lo Yisas Akom Alacha. Atu Vincho Vitecha V'Avdecha V'Amasecha, V'Sharcha V'Chamorcha V'Chol Behemtecha, V'Gerach Hashem B'Sherech L'Man Yunuach Avdecha V'Amasecha K'moicha. Why? Why? So you'll remember. This is like a verse out of the Haggadah. Misham b'yad chazaka uvizrayin etuya. Al kain tzivcha Hashem aleikecha. Last this is Yom Hashabbos. Amazing. So in Parashas Yisrael, the Torah gives a reason why we keep Shabbos, and in Parashas Vaschanan, the Torah gives a reason why we keep Shabbos. In Parashas Yisrael, why? It's because kishesh is yom emas Hashem es hashemayim vesaretz yom es kol hashabbat vayonach b'yom eshvi al kain beirach. And then in Parashas Vaschanan, the Torah gives a different reason. V'zochartik ki evedo Yisa Beretz Mitzrayim. Vayoytziyach Hashem alkecha b'shom yod chazaka uvizrei netuya al kain. Not al kain beirach. It's not the way you make kiddush. Al kain tzivcha Hashem alkecha lasois es yoyim Hashabbos. And the question is, why do we have two different reasons? And what are these two reasons? I understand Shabbos is eich lamayis avirachus. What does Shabbos have to do with Yitzias Mitzrayim? So the Ramban and the Rishonim, they all say that really, the first reason that the Torah gives in Parashas Yisroel and the second reason the Torah gives in Parashas Vaschanan, they're two halves, they're two sides of the same coin, they complement each other. The reason a Yid keeps Shabbos is to remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. You know what the biggest raya in history we ever had that Hashem created the world was? It was Yitzias Mitzrayim. Meaning by remembering Mitzrayim, essentially what you're going to remember is Chiddush Olam. The Ramban says it at length in the end of Parashas Bo, but it's poshut, it's obvious, it's the theme of the Leila Seder. Mitzrayim and Maisa Bereshis are very much tied by the hip. Because at the end of the day, the raya, the makar, to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with the nisim and the flois that Hashem performed when he took the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. So by saying that Shabbos is a zecher to Sheish Yitzimei Bereshis, and by saying that Shabbos is a zecher to Yitzias Mitzrayim, it's really Me'inyan Le'inyan, Ba'isa Inyan, all saying the same thing. That the concept of Shabbos is remembering Chiddush HaOlam. Chiddush HaOlam, Hashem created the world. Chiddush HaOlam, Hashem took the Yidden out of Mitzrayim, which is the fact that Hashem is Mashkiach, He watches over us. It's the riot to the fact that Hashem created the world. But again, it's all sort of related. But there's something a little bit deeper over here, which ties very much into what we're learning now, into the Lamed Tes Melachos. The Gemara, Mesechtes Psochim, Perek Arbi Psochim, Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, says as follows. The Gemara says, Amrav Acher Bar Yaakov, when a Yid makes Kiddush, Tzorich Sheyaskor Yitzias Mitzrayim B'Kiddush HaYoyim. You have to remember Mitzrayim. Ksiv Hach, it says, L'man Tiskor, Es Yoyim Tzeschcho Mi'eretz Mitzrayim Kol Yomei Chayecho, V'Ksiv Hosam Zohar Seyem HaShabbos HaKachoy. Rabbi Acher Bar Yaakov made a Gzeres Shofa. He said, it says, Zohar Seyem HaShabbos HaKachoy, Parshas Yisroi, that's the mitzvah to make Kiddush. It says, L'man Tiskor, Es Yoyim Tzeschcho Mi'eretz Mitzrayim Kol Yomei Chayecho. Again, the same Shoyrish. The word Zohar, said Rabbi Acher Bar Yaakov, we learn from here, that Tzorich Sheyaskor Yitzias Mitzrayim B'Kiddush HaYoyim. That when a person makes Kiddush, he has to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim. Pashup Pshat, it's the Psukim in Parshas Vaschanan that Shabbos is v'zochartik yevet o yisub eretz Mitzrayim. So you see there's a connection between Shabbos and Yitzias Mitzrayim. Thus, it's a Gzeres Shavo, but the punchline is something that makes a lot of sense. It's something we can very much understand. It's almost a mefurish pasuk in Parshas Vaschanan that there's a connection between Shabbos, in this case Kiddush, and the mitzvah of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Tosfos on this Gemara right here says as follows. V'shamati meharam. I heard from the Ram. Sheyesh b'medrash, that is a medrash says as follows. V'shamati b'mitzrayim, obdu b'hem b'yisrael b'farach. When the Yidu were in Mitzrayim, they were subject to avoidus parach. Farach, pei resh chof, ba'at bash. If you swap the letters out with at bash, so what's at bash? So at bash is an idea that you can sometimes switch letters. So an Aleph switches with a Tav, and a Beis switches with a Shin, and a Gimel switches with a Resh. It's what's known as Atbash. Says Tosfos, I found a Medrash that says if you take the word Parech and you do a switcheroo with an Atbash, the word Parech is going to become Vigal. The pei becomes a vav, the resh becomes a gimel, and the chav is going to become a lamed. Vigal, veis, gim, vav, gimel, lamed is bigamatria 39. Vav is 6, gimel is 3, lamed is 30. It's 39, which is the shehem meloches arbam chaser achas. It's the 39 meloches. Ukshinigalu mi Mitzrayim. When the Yidden left Mitzrayim, get ready for the punchline. Hisiram ala Shabbos. Hashem told the Yidden something called Shabbos. Lishpois, you know what the mitzvah was? Rest me oisam lamites meloches. When the Yidden were Mitzrayim, they had avodas parach. You know what avodas parach means? Yeah, they worked hard. They were in concentration camps. But on a deeper level, you know what it was? There were 39 meloches. Where do you see it? Parech at Bashis Vigal. Vigal's begamatria. It's a toisvus. It's a toisvus. So 39 malachas. And when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, they were told that now you're going to keep Shabbos and you're going to rest from those 39 malachas. Vizochar to kievet o yisib eretz Mitzrayim. Shomar yisim a Shabbos l'kachoy. That there's an idea you have to rest on Shabbos. Why? To remember Mitzrayim. How are you remembering Mitzrayim? What's Mitzrayim have to do with anything? So the Rishonim say Mitzrayim, Mishayim, Mei Bereishis. They're all one and the same. Yeah, it says toisvus, a medrash, that it's deeper than that. Because you know what Shomar means? It's lamites malachas. Lamites malachas means that you can't do these. Those are the 39 malachas that did Mitzrayim. And when you rest on Shabbos, when a Yid rests on Shabbos, essentially what he's doing is he's resting from the lamites malachas. L'chura, I think we could take this toisvus and take it to the next level. And that is as follows. The Balaturim in Parshas Vayakel. It's right in the beginning of Parshas Vayakel. Balaturim brings the Gemara, where the Gemara says, Eila Hadvarim, that's a remez to the Lamites Malachas. But he says there's another remez in this Pasuk to the Lamites Malachas. Vayakel Moishas Kol Adas B'nei Yisrov Vayomer Aleim, Eila Hadvarim Asher Tziva Hashem Lasois Oisam. Says the Balaturim, the word Lasois over here is written Chaser. Lamid, Ayin, Sin, Tzof. There's no vav. Sometimes it'd be a vav between the sin and the saf. There's no vav. It's chasa. Says the Balaturim, oisiyos, the word lasis is oisiyos, lamid, tesha. The lamid, that's 30. Ayin, sin, saf, is tesha. It's lamid, tesha, loymar. Lamites melachas yasu oisam bevav yomim bavaloi b'shabbos. Meaning, ei lahadvarim asher tziva Hashem lasois oisam sheishes yomim tiyasam melach. So for 6 days you could do lasois. What's lasois? 39. Lamitesha. Fascinating. Well, b'liyoy mashviyu lachem kodesh Shabbos kadosh and lachem kodesh melachem yomas. Then you can't do lasois. Then you're not allowed to do the lamites melachas. Says the Balaturim, v'chein, you find also asher bara lekim lasois. In Parshas Bereishis, Vayechulu Hashemayim Va'aretz V'chol Tzavav. And then we conclude, Asher Bar Lekim Lasois. Hakosev Vayechulu says the Balaturim, Virtu Lasois, there's a remez of Lamitesha. Even though Lasois over there is written Mole, not Chaser. But there's a remez to Lamitesha. And he says, not just that. He says, if you go through the Psukim in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, Timtzo Asiois Ubriois. Take all the synonyms of creation. Every time it says a word Asiya or Bria, every time it says melacha, every time it says vahavayis, vayi erev, vayi hiboiker, vahitzois, vatoitzei aretz deshe, vahavdolois, vahavdol. Take all those words, kulam, you add it up, lamites. You're going to end up with lamites. Loimar, to teach me that there were 39 melachos in Brias HaOilam. It's unbelievable. Lasois in Brias HaOilam. Lasois is lamitesha, which is 39. And he says, go ahead and count up the words. There were 39 melachos in Brias HaOilam. So we know there were 39 melachos in the Mishkan. We know you're not allowed to do 39 melachos on Shabbos. We just found a Tosfos where Tosfos says Avodas Parach was 39. At Bash Vigal, it's Begamatria 30. There were 39 melachos that Yidden did in Mitzrayim. And now we know the rest of the story. There were 39 melachos in Brias HaOilam. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he created the world with 39 melachos. My good friend Levi Chomsky showed me an unbelievable Maramaka. The Pasa Shulchan was written by Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov. Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov was one of the famous Talmidei Agra. He was one of the Yidden that established the Ir HaAtika. He went to Eretz Yisrael in the early 19th century together with Rav Mendel Mishklov and some of the other Talmidei Agra. So Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov wrote a sefer called Pasa Shulchan. And in his Akdama to his sefer Pasa Shulchan, he brings that he remembers that somebody went over to the Vilna Gaon and he asked him a question on one of the Yotzris. This is in the Yotzris of Parsha Shkolim. So if you're familiar with the Yotzris of Parsha Shkolim, so there's one Yotzris that says as follows. Ozro Isa Visiparta. I'm going to go through the whole thing. Vehechanto vechakarto madadeto vechalto vechakalto vamadeto vetzavarto vfakadeto vechashavto vesikanto umanisa vesafarto vekotzavto vecharatzto vegozarto vetipachto vesiarto vehibadeto veivanto veskalto vesharto vesakarto vechasavto vecharatto vechakarto vetzianto vecharato velimadeto veidato vechivisa veireza vegozarto vetzivisa vekarosa vamanisa vetibarto veyomarto. And it's talking about Bria soil. So someone came over to the Vilna Gaon. He says, "What? It sounds like a Litzonis. What is this? Yeah, this is all. What's the point of this?" So the Vilna Gaon told him on the spot. He says, "Go home and count the words. You know how many words there are? 39." This Zemer, this Yoitzer, is talking about Bria soil. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with Lamites Malachis. That's what the Vilna Gaon told him. And me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created with Lamites Malachis. Hidden. This is classic Vilna Gaon. And Rabbi Yisrael Shklov says he witnessed this. He saw someone come over to the Gaon. This is what the Gaon told him. He says, count it up. It's 39 connected to Lamites Malachis with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Bria Sa'olam happened with Lamites Malachis. Regardless, we have a Balaturim and we have Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov in his classic work Pas HaShulchan and the Hakdama that he said he saw the Vilna Gaon tell this to somebody. But the point is this. The point is that Bria Sa'olam was also with Lamites Malachis. So I think Al Derech Toisvis and Arvei Psochim Kuf Yud Zayin Amid Beis, it's beautiful. We keep Lamites Malachis on Shabbos. What does it say? What does it say in Parashas Yisroi? Why? Sheish Yom Yomim Tasim Malachim V'yoy Mashfil Shabbos LaShem Alekechol. It's not just that we don't do malacha because Hashem created the world. Yeah, that also. Because Hashem rested on Shabbos. Of course, that's what it means. But it's deeper than that. There's an idea that Hashem created the world with Lamites Malachis. And when we rest from the Lamites Malachis, what are we doing? We're remembering, we're commemorating the Minyan Lamites. We're remembering this idea that Hashem created the world with Lamites Malachis. And now, when on Shabbos, he rested from what? From the Lamites Malachis with which he created the world. That's the whole point. The Lasois, that's what he rested from. Hashem rested from Lamites Malachis. We're going to do the same thing. We're going to also rest from the... We're also going to rest from the Lamites Malachis. Meaning, in Parshas Yisro, we began. It says, why do you keep Shabbos? Zochris Yom HaShabbos HaKatcha, Ki Sheish Yom HaMos HaShem, Es HaShemayim Ves Oretz. In Parshas Vashchan, in Shomris Yom HaShabbos HaKatcha, why? V'zochart Yikevet O'Yisav Eretz Mitzrayim, Al-Kein Tzivcha HaShem HaLekech HaLasis Yom HaShabbos. On the simple level, you keep Shabbos, you're remembering Bria Sa'olam, you keep Shabbos, you're remembering Yitzias Mitzrayim. Of course, that's the Pashim Shat. But there's a deeper understanding over here. When you keep Shabbos, what does it mean that you keep Shabbos? He rests from the Lamites Malachis. There were Lamites Malachis that HaKadosh Baruch created the world with. There were Lamites Malachis of Bria Sa'olam that Hashem rested from on Shabbos. When we keep Shabbos, we're keeping the Lamites Malachis. We're resting from the same exact Lamites Malachis that Hashem rested from when Hashem created the world. And when we rest on Shabbos, we're resting from the 39 Malachis that the Yidden had to do in Mitzrayim, the same exact 39 Malachis that took place over there. That's what it is we're resting from. That's the idea of resting on Shabbos from the Lamites Malachis. Zeichel Maisa Vereshis. Because Maisa Bereshit was those Lamites Malachis. And it's also Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because Mitzrayim was also Lamites Malachis. But just to put this all together. The Gemara says that what's the Makar to the Lamites Malachis? What's the source of the Lamites Malachis? The source of the Lamites Malachis is because the Yidden were told when they built the Mishkan with Lamites Malachis. Now we can appreciate this a little bit better in light of this Tosis we just saw in Psachim. The Yidden were Mitzrayim. And they did Lamites Malachis for Mitzrayim. They were in a concentration camp. And imagine now they come out. Imagine the Yidden in 1945 would be liberated and they would be told that all the melachos that you did, Rachman al Litzlan, in the concentration camp, now you're going to channel all those efforts for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What a way of taking and getting out of that trauma. That's what the Yidden did. They took those Lamites melachos d'avodas parach and they channeled it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning the melachos HaMishkan very much embodied this idea of Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. That was the concept of the Malachas HaMishkan. But it's deeper than that. Because we know, who built the Mishkan? Bezalel. Why Bezalel? Bezalel was very special. He had a unique talent. What was his unique talent? It's a Gemara in Brachos Nun Hei Amar Aleph. The Gemara says, Yoideya Hoya Bezalel, Om Rav Yehuda Marav, Yoideya Hoya Bezalel, Tzaref Oisi Ois, Shenivru Bahem Shamayim Va'aretz. And it says by Bria Sa'olam the same Lashonis.
Betzalel's koyach when he built the Mishkan was what? Betzalel knew how to build. He knew how to build Bria Sa'olam. You see, the Mishkan had in it a Bria. It had in it the soidness of the Bria. Reb Chaim Volozhin says in Nefesh HaChaim and Shar Aleph, take a look in the Haggah. He talks about this at length, that the Mishkan was a microcosm of the whole world, of the whole Bria. All the soidness of the Bria were in the Mishkan. The point is that the Mishkan, it represented, it symbolized Zeicher Yetzias Mitzrayim. It also represented, it symbolized Maaseh Bereishis. So where do we learn the Lamed Tes Melachos from?
We learn it from the Melachos HaMishkan. Now you know the rest of the story.
It's not pomp, juxtaposed, smichas, very nice. V'shom Bnei Yisrael's HaShabbos is smack in the middle of all the parashas of the Mishkan. And then you have the beginning of the parashas, Vayakal Moshe. We're about to go through Vayakal Pekudei, a long kriya. And now we're going to talk all about Mishkan. Let's start off with Shabbos. Yeah, it's very nice. It's much deeper than that. The Yisoyed HaDavar is because Shabbos is intrinsically related to what Mishkan represented. Mishkan had in it the Soidus of the Bria, because Shabbos is Eichel HaMaisa Bereishis. Mishkan came after Yetzias Mitzrayim. It had in it it was taking the Avodas Parech and go channeling it for Avodas HaKodesh. But the bottom line is, this is the idea of Lamites. You have Lamites Melachos that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. We have the Lamites Melachos that the Yidden did when they built the Mishkan. We have the Lamites Melachos that the Yidden had to do when they were in Mitzrayim. And we even have the Lamites Melachos Shabbai Nivru, Shamayim Va'aretz, with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world.